We head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates hotline as we're joined by Dr. Jerry Punch for this next hour of the show. If you have a question or comment for Doc, 656-9900, 656-9900. Star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. Doc's appearance brought to you by our good friends at New Balance Knoxville. Shop local. Shop New Balance Knoxville in the Suburban Shopping Center just west of West Town Mall. Doc, folks don't even have to bother with a website because they will get taken care of like you won't believe. The incredible fit specialists that are on hand to make sure that you get the ultimate fit when you make your way to New Balance Knoxville. They also have curbside pickup or delivery available, but they will take care of you.
They take wonderful care of you, John. And as you mentioned, the curbside pickup, the delivery, you walk in the store, they greet you with a smile. They want to help you help yourself be better, be more fit. If you just want to walk, if you just want to shop, if you want to jog, you want to run, you want to CrossFit, whatever you want to do. And they will keep records on you, detailed records, to help fit you perfectly every time. They have lots of models to choose from, colors, sizes, shapes. I like the 990s. That's my favorite to run in. In fact, I travel in those, in a pair of those, even on airplanes. They're so comfortable wherever I'm going. But they will take great care of you. They also have apparel if you want it. So Sharon and David and all the wonderful staff at New Balance of Knoxville, you don't find more professional people anywhere in town.
Well, you can bet that as I went through airports in Knoxville and Atlanta and St. Louis on Thursday and then came back from St. Louis to Charlotte to Knoxville today, it is a New Balance tradition because, one, they're so comfortable as you're running from one jetway to the next, but also very easy in and out when you have to hand those over to the TSA people.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the good part is that I wear them when I'm doing some medical things now, since I've been a doctor for most of my life and as well as a broadcaster. So I look around and I see people wearing New Balances when they're making rounds. And I started wearing them myself. They're so comfortable. I've worn them to the racetrack, IndyCar races the last few weekends. And by the way, if you notice, if you're ever watching pit stops in IndyCar racing or NASCAR racing, you see those guys go over the wall. Many of the top teams, and like numerous of the top teams, have a black shoe with a big white N on the side. That's New Balance. They can pick any shoe they want to. They pick that New Balance shoe because of the stability it provides them when they really have to be able to move and adjust quickly. So it just says a lot about those teams. And now you and I can go get them here at New Balance of Knoxville.
Doc, why don't we open with this, the fact that Tennessee is in first place in the Eastern Division in baseball. We'll take on Arkansas, which is in the first place in the Western Division in baseball. They have the same conference record, so they're tied for first in the SEC, and they meet in front of a full-capacity crowd this weekend at Lindsey Nelson Stadium.
I was so thrilled to see that they lifted the crowd limitations, and that should be a tremendous, tremendous home crowd for the Vols. I'm hoping they have the largest crowd they've ever had. I'm not sure what the largest crowd is, John. I'm not sure if we have the exact numbers, but I got to believe that number one Arkansas coming to town against number four Tennessee, and last home regular season series for the Vols. And man, I cannot wait for the atmosphere that's going to be at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. It should be a fabulous one.
Yes, it will be. They do have, as Jimmy mentioned, Tennessee Tech tomorrow night. Then it's three against Arkansas, and then it's Belmont next Tuesday before they head on to South Carolina to close out the regular season. But it should be a whale of a weekend.
Hey, Doc, in terms of NASCAR this week, you've got Martin Truex dominant at Darlington. As he led all three stages, he led 248 to 293 laps. Just talk about his terrific performance.
Well, I mean, Darlington's one of the toughest tracks of all to drive, very demanding, and you literally have to run inches from the wall all the way around the racetrack. And that is even harder than it looks, according to most of the drivers I've talked to. And Truex said the car was dialed in perfectly. He said, if I am 3 feet from the wall, I'm 0.4 seconds slower. He said, I had to be up by the wall to be that fast, but you take a huge risk because you're right up there against the wall if you slip, if you get on some sand that blows across the track, or a tire wears a little too much and you go in the corner and it doesn't grip, you don't have much room for error. He's probably 10 inches from the wall at those speeds. But he did a masterful job and became the first three-time winner here in 2021 in NASCAR. So Truex gets it done. Kyle Busch had a great run. You know, Kyle Larson had a chance to run him down late in the race, and Kyle got within about three car lengths, and then Truex just stayed there and began to pull back away. So, yeah, incredible, impressive performance by Joe Gibbs Racing again for Martin Truex.
You mentioned Kyle Busch. He was third. That's his sixth top 10 in seven races. So he's going pretty well right now, isn't he?
He is. He really is. And so, you know, Kyle has come on. I think that team is poised to really run strong even in the second half of the year. And remember now, we still have guys that haven't won a race. Remember, we got Kevin Harvick, you know, won all those races a year ago, hasn't won. Denny Hamlin, who ran well, but not as well as we thought he might run at Darlington. He's yet to win this year. And so has Chase Elliott, you know, defending series champion. So you've got those guys that have yet to win thus far in 2021 as they head to the High Banks in Dover, Delaware this weekend.
John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams to join us, 656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. Our guest, Dr. Jerry Punch, as he joins us each Monday, just about out of the calendar year, and his appearance brought to you by New Balance Knoxville. Doc, as you take a look of the college landscape, what do you think in terms of how different it might be to see Henry To'o wearing crimson with Alabama after spending his first 2 years at Tennessee?
Well, I mean, it's it is what it is. Given the one-time ability to transfer, I think it's you're going to see so many new names and new faces in different places. He's a great athlete, obviously. I heard that, and what I could read is that it came down between Alabama and Ohio State. I wish he'd have stayed at Tennessee. And I heard some people locally saying as much trouble as he had covering the slant at linebacker at Tennessee this year, that Josh Heupel should open up with like six or seven consecutive slants until he can cover one when they play Alabama. So I don't know. I think it's going to be – I wish the young man the best of luck, no ill will. And unfortunately or fortunately, whatever, from a standpoint of the athletes, they get a chance to move around and change schools. If you don't like where you are, you go somewhere else. And as one legendary coach that I used to work with years ago said, it's sort of like if I ain't starting, I'm departing. And now you don't even have to give a reason. You get that one-time transfer. So it's going to be different. It'll be different indeed.
Let's check in with Jim. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Jim.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, Dr. Punch. You know, years ago, some of you guys or all you guys might remember this, the NCAA was so worried about making sure that recruiting was fair to everybody and everybody was on kind of an equal footing, they limited the number of pages you could put in your media guide.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that, Jimmy?
I do. Wasn't that a brilliant move?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because nobody's gone on probation since then. Ever.
And you guys were just talking about the gist of what I really called to talk about, and that is where we are today in the college football and college basketball landscape as far as, I'll say, procurement of players. They've got tremendous freedom to move. And I'm just wondering how comfortable you are with where we are today, or do you have any discomfort on this landscape is with the people being able to go where they want to go? And do you see the NCAA, if they haven't talked about it already, trying to put some brakes or limitations on where this stuff may be headed because of unintended consequences? You could wreck a basketball team pretty quickly, So I'm just interested in what your guys' thought process on where we are today in this whole area.
Jimmy, I thought that Rob Lewis brought up a pretty good point last Monday, and that was there probably should be a quote-unquote portal season, that once you get past a certain point, that a coach shouldn't necessarily have to worry about his or her program losing people, because it's pretty much 24/7 now. And I think that the deeper we get, or the further we get down this road, I think that's got a lot of merit to it. I do think that there should be, that it's X amount of time either after spring practice or your season has played its last game, that maybe they need to make it finite, your ability to exit. And it could also, I mean, you could also put in a window that once you're done with the academic year, that would also be another window. But I do think that there should be some protections in place for programs, just so they know exactly what they have going to their next season.
I do too, but I also think that what's interesting to me is that would be more restrictive than what you have right now.
Well,
you can transfer
point.
Anytime you want right now. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to be eligible, but you can transfer four games into a season if you want to. So I do think there's merit to that. I would like it. As you know, I'm not crazy about it. I think it's going to, as was mentioned, it could wreck a basketball team. It is going to make it harder, I think, to coach athletes. So I think at the first drop of some problem or some coach saying something, they're going to just quit and leave, and I don't like that. I think you're almost encouraging quitting, which is not, I'm not a fan of that. But it's here. I'm not a fan of name, image, and likeness either, because I think that's a can of worms that's going to create a lot of problems. So I guess I'm just a get off my lawn kind of guy.
Hey, Doc, I also think that
something
that we found out, especially over these last few months, just because a young man or woman enters the transfer portal doesn't mean somebody else is going to snap them up. It has to be, I think, a very wise decision to put your name in there, because there's no guarantee. And now, some, obviously, you're going to generate a new and second wave of recruiting. But for others, I think they might be greatly disappointed when nobody gives them a ring.
Well, I agree, John. I was going to bring that up. ESPN came up with some numbers that they didn't do. They got them from a company that did the numbers, and I don't have them in front of me, but it's staggering how many student athletes have entered a transfer portal in the past 6 months, and how many have a place to go. I think that, you know, if more of this was publicized, I think a couple of things. I like the fact that there'd be a portal season, but I also like the fact that if you enter the transfer portal, the school that you're leaving from no longer has any financial obligation from that day. Right. And you're welcome to go. And I think this one-time transfer deal, I think that's fine, because the student athlete, and a lot of times it's the parents. It's a mom or a dad who's disgruntled because junior is not starting, or is not a superstar, or hasn't been treated like he thought he'd be treated when he was being courted by the coaches during recruitment. And so they want him to go. I personally think you should be allowed to transfer, which is fair to the student athlete, but it should be a year before you can get scholarship aid. So you can go somewhere, but the parents or somebody are going to borrow money and foot the bill for a year until. So it really needs to be a reason that the kid wants to go somewhere, not because the parents disgruntled, and you no longer can get scholarship aid from where you are. So there needs to be some dispensation for the schools that have invested in these kids and others that are, you know, that want them to come there and play, but suddenly can't give them aid for a year. I think that there needs, or something like that, or not complete aid.
There's one other quick thing also. I'm sorry, yeah. Doc, I talked you through.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, Jimmy.
The one concern I have is that I think it's legitimate if somebody wants to transfer from a program because of a coaching change, maybe you don't fit that system. And then you go transfer, and then that coach gets fired. Now where are you? You can't transfer anywhere and become eligible immediately. So you can kind of get stuck. And I also had a coach, and I haven't been able to verify it, but he told me, his football coach, he said 30% of the players that have entered the portal did not find a home. 30%. I thought that was a high number, but I haven't been able to confirm it.
Has the one-time transfer rule been officially sanctioned yet? Made a go?
It's been passed. I don't know that it's implemented.
Yeah. Okay, it has. It's been passed, though. Is that right, John?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Well, one thing I never liked was the terrible inconsistency of any quarterback who was trying to transfer to a major school was approved in about 20 minutes.
Right.
And you had some other guys that were waiting for months and months and months, which that was a complete absurdity.
I agree with that.
And so I like taking that out of there, you know. So, well, guys, I Jimmy, I guess I'm that old man, get off my lawn, too. Well, you didn't say old man, though. You just said get off my lawn.
Yeah, part of my backyard's a river, so I'll just shove them in the water.
Hey, guys, I appreciate the information. You guys have a good afternoon.
You as well. Our guest, Dr. Jerry Punch, his weekly appearance brought to you by New Balance Knoxville. Shop local, shop New Balance Knoxville in the Suburban Shopping Center just west of West Town Mall. Let's get right back to the phones where it's Alan who joins us next. Hello, Alan.
Hey, guys, get off my lawn. I was going to call in and have some similar comments to Jim, but about now, 30, 40 minutes ago, I was listening and heard Jimmy talking about the Olympics. So I want to segue from a full Lindsey Nelson Stadium, which I think is great, to the Olympics real quick. And by the way, John, if you need anybody to carry anything for you this weekend or plug it in or take notes, you know how to get me.
All right.
But Jimmy, did you say that Japan has only vaccinated 2% of their people and that they're having a bit of a COVID outbreak and people are getting worried about the Olympics?
That's the story I read, 2%. I was stunned. And, yes, they had 300,000 signatures in 3 days, said postpone or cancel it. 60 to 80% said postpone or cancel it in another survey.
That's gonna be one of the biggest, potentially biggest faux pas in sports. I mean, obviously, we all know what it costs to put on the Olympics, prepare for them, build things, and having to put them off last year had to cost a lot of people a lot of money. And then to not be like I hadn't paid attention, but to not be like Israel or the leading nation in number of people vaccinated, it just seems grossly crazy. I don't know. I mean, when I've been to Japan once, I'm not an expert on Japan, but when I think of Japan, I think of efficiency and effectiveness and those kind of things. Doc, have you followed that at all? And what do you think about the lack of progress in vaccination and how that might impact the Olympics and so forth?
Yeah, I haven't followed it, but I have recently looked. And as you said, who knows what the IOC is going to, the International Olympic Committee, will do. But with those numbers being so low, I don't know how you'd go ahead and have an Olympics at this point in time. I mean, you've got to do something. And the other thing is, I've been to Japan numerous times to do auto races, stock car, IndyCar, and college football all-star games. And every time I've been there, the thing that strikes me, other than the fact that the people are incredibly well-disciplined and I love the culture, is the density of the population, the density on mass transit, on trains and downtown, walking on streets. Anywhere you go, it is incredibly tight and there's a lot of people. So with that said, in COVID and the limited vaccination numbers, I'm not sure how you bring athletes, much less spectators, in for an event like the Olympic Games. I don't know how you do it.
I will say this.
I don't know either.
They have said that they're not allowing fans to come in from other countries. It's only going to be Japanese folks that will be able to watch the Olympics.
Well, and obviously if they had thought a little further ahead, they could have had visitors come in, made money. I'm assuming most athletes will have gotten vaccinated and feel safe, but you're going to have their teams and trainers and, you know, various people I don't know. That just stunned me when I heard you say that. I like I said, I didn't even follow it because I didn't even expect it to be an issue. But anyway, I'll keep an eye on it. Go Vols, baseball Vols, softball Vols, and talk to y'all later.
Alan, we sure do appreciate it. If you have a question or comment for Doc, 656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900.
Doc, we talked about the race at Darlington, and there were fans on the infield in the garage area. And also, they're opening things up. They said September the 5th for the next race that is there. Dover, I don't know what the attendance is going to look like there, but it looks like a number of racetracks are opening things up. How much of that is NASCAR and how much of that is a state saying this is what you can do?
Jimmy, it's all driven by the states. NASCAR can suggest what they want. The states, they will abide by whatever the state says. And so this past week, the governor of Pennsylvania decided he's going to reduce the mask mandates and allow more attendance. And it was announced that the Pocono race, the doubleheader in Pocono, if I'm not mistaken, that's the third week of June, will be allowed to have a 100% occupancy. It'll be allowed to be completely full. And then the Atlanta race in July will have 100% occupancy. So more and more states are opening up. California still is not. I think Delaware, if I'm not mistaken, it's still 30 to 35%, unless it's changed in the last couple of days where Dover is. But they are beginning to see the light and be able to get, because of the vaccination numbers that they feel comfortable with there, you know, the sporting events are allowing. I think, if I'm not mistaken, even Portland, Oregon, I will be out there in Portland in a month, let's see, about 2 months, and they're projecting that it'll be 100% open by that time. So that's good news for West Coast states that have had the biggest concerns about trying to keep things tightened down.
How do you think that the race teams have adjusted to this?
I think it's amazing how resilient they have been. You know, from this time a year ago when NASCAR tried to be able to go run Darlington with no fans and told the drivers they couldn't go near the crew. The crew chiefs, they couldn't go in the race shop. Only a few members could be in the race shop at a time, and they had to alternate shifts with three or four people at a time could be there, and then another three or four people would come in at night, and the crew chief had to work from home, and the driver had to sit in his car in the infield and walk right to the car. All those things they had to jump through, all those hoops just to be able to race with no fans, and they did it. They went to Darlington. They went to Charlotte. They went to all over racing, Martinsville, other places. And then actually the first track to really show people how to do it was Bristol. Bristol's the one that brought in 25 to 30,000 for the All-Star race and pulled it off and impressed so many people, including all the NFL teams that sent representatives there to watch and said, can this really be done? And they did. And so I think the NASCAR teams have really, really, I mean, it's amazing. And they still had limitations in their shops. In terms of how many people can be in a certain area working at a certain time, because they've done that themselves to keep people safe. And I think now it's that's why it doesn't surprise me one bit that these states realize how NASCAR led the way by abiding by the rules and doing things with social distancing that they're allowing now some of these crowds to come back in as early as June.
And off topic just a little bit, but with the Knoxville Open coming to Holston Hills Country Club. It starts Thursday, goes through Sunday. Doc, there's a guy that shot a 64 out at Three Ridges, and there are six people that shot 66, and they're in a playoff. They've got four spots that they allow. So six people shot 66, and then out at Oak Ridge Country Club, a guy shot a 65. It's amazing how good these golfers are, and this is just in the qualifying.
Yeah, how about that, Jimmy? How do you like to shoot a 65 and realize you're still in a playoff to be able to just play in the tournament? You're playing that well. But, hey, that's great. That just means it's going to be that much more fun to watch, you know. But, gosh, I mean, it just everybody talks about the technology and the training. And the key is, I mean, consistency. How consistent these golfers are, you know, to be able to – I mean, you look at what you have to do to shoot a 65. I know it's probably not much for you, Jimmy, but for most of us, that's nearly impossible.
Putt-putt, I can handle it.
Watch out for the windmill.
That's right. The windmill.
Jerry Punch, his appearance brought to you by New Balance Knoxville. That's New Balance Knoxville in the Suburban Shopping Center just west of Westtown Mall. Doc?
Yeah, I was going to tell you that I watched, by the way, loved your call from Missouri in the series this past weekend for Tennessee. The Friday night game was intriguing to me, the opening game of the series, because it seemed like everything was going Missouri's way, and Chad Dallas, it seemed like he had his best stuff in the early innings. Was just missing on the strike zone, or in my opinion, they were just missing on some of the calls, but that's neither here nor there. But I thought, I loved the launch, when Ferguson launched the home run. You know, when I was a kid growing up, we'd go to the beach, and the Drifters had a song I loved hearing when I was at Myrtle Beach called Up on the Roof. And and that ball not only went over the fence, not only went up, it went on the top part of a roof of a building adjacent to the state. And my question to you, John, is, number one, any estimates on, I heard the guys on TV talk, and I heard you, how far that home run actually went?
Well, let's see. It went out around, I guess it would be just to the right, which would be towards the line. It's 339 down the line. It's 366 into the power alley, and so I would think it would be just past the power alley towards the shorter fence. But the fact that it was not only over the fence but on top of the roof of the indoor facility, that it certainly has to be, I think, north of 400. And if I heard correctly, because I didn't get to see it, but if I heard correctly, it never came down. It lodged in like a girder or something, a part of the roof that they found it on camera. So it really was something, because it really was an uphill climb. I mean, it was like pulling teeth for Tennessee to tie the game at 3, and then as soon as Tennessee tied it at 3, Missouri came right back, got a leadoff double. And what I thought was almost as big a play as the Max Ferguson home run, Doc, was the fact that after Missouri breaks the tie, you have a double, and then you have a one-out RBI single. The batter tried to stretch it into a double, and he was thrown out at second by Jordan Beck from right field. If you don't get that out, it's one out, a run in, and another man in scoring position for the team that has the momentum at home, a team that obviously has had a season to forget. But I just thought that defensive play was almost as big as Max Ferguson's home run, but it flipping the script and giving the Vols the lead, it's their first lead, was huge, especially at that stage of the game where you could hand it off to Sean Hundley, who retired all six batters he faced.
Yeah, I thought the laser throw by Beck from right field was just right on the money. That was a key play, you know, being able to get that runner who was trying to stretch it into a double. Yeah, something else I noticed, and maybe I've been traveling doing IndyCar, so I haven't seen that much Tennessee baseball. And I know that Tennessee, Tony Vitello, he loves aggressiveness at the bat, you know, running the base pass. But this past weekend, Tennessee had, if I'm not mistaken, two players picked off. Was that aggressive base running, or was that just a really good arm by what I thought was a pretty good catcher from Missouri?
Yeah, it really was. I don't think it was being ultra aggressive, because the first one happened in the first inning on Friday. That was it, because you had a runner who took a big wide turnaround first and then stumbled on his way back to the bag. I thought that was just bad luck. But you are right. It was the first of two base runners that got picked off by the catcher. The first was at third in that first inning and the other at first. I think it was just somebody who has always got an eye. And the thing is, he's not that good dealing with opposing base runners stealing bases, but he's really got an eye. And I guess, Jimmy, that would just be a very specific part of the talent for that catcher, that he might have the better eye for a snap throw to first or third rather than having the cannon to erase a base runner with a long throw to second.
That's why I think it's so difficult to play that position. And when you find somebody that is a great defensive catcher, I love them. I think they're as valuable as a great defensive shortstop, because they can do so many things. They're helping to call a game. They're trying to frame pitches. They're trying to pick people off. They're making snap throws. I think there's so much that goes into that position. And then you got to wear all this crazy gear on top of that. But, it's a tough – to me, it's a very tough position to play on the diamond. And, boy, when you get one that's great behind the plate, they're invaluable, in my opinion.
Yeah, I just thought he had a good feel for it, and perhaps Tennessee did have an extra step, but he got two, I believe, in that first game, but did not get another the rest of the weekend. Now, he wasn't able to play on Sunday because, unfortunately, he suffered a fracture in his hand Saturday, but I thought Tennessee was much more mindful of his abilities after seeing what had transpired before.
You know, John, the SEC network kept talking about how important that, you know, the series coming up is, and about Tennessee, about how far the Vols have come. We all know, we all appreciate the incredible efforts of Tony Vitello last year. We didn't get to complete the year, and now this year. But being able to host a regional, or maybe being able to host even a super regional, they kept talking about how important and how big a step that was for Tennessee. What's the scenario there in terms of Tennessee being able to do that?
I do think that if Tennessee, which right now is 17-7 in SEC play, I think if they can get to 20 wins, they're going to be hard. It'll be hard. They'll be hard pressed not to be one of the top eight seeds. And I don't believe that they've had 20 wins in SEC play in the 30 game schedule. So I just think that it's if they were to win this series against Arkansas, then I think it's a done deal. But if they don't, then I think if they can get to 20 wins, and they still could get it with 19, but I think if they were to get to 20 wins before the SEC tournament, I think they would be in really great shape. And that's something that Tennessee has never done. Tennessee has hosted regionals. They've hosted five, but they've never hosted a super regional. That's never happened. They traveled each time, won each time, but they had to travel each time. And speaking of travel, Doc, what do you have going on this week?
Well, it's interesting. I have a rare weekend, and I get to be home, and I'm excited because I have some things to do this week. But I may find my way up to Lindsey Nelson. I want to be a part of that crazy crowd watching. I mean, there's no better series in college baseball this week than that one right there happening in town. And I hope the place is packed. I hope it's jam packed, and the atmosphere is incredible. You know, and if I'm not there, I'm going to be watching with friends here from the house. So I don't have to travel. IndyCar is a road course race this weekend. NASCAR is at Dover, Delaware. And so, you know, looking forward to be able to watch what could be, you know, an incredible landmark series for Tennessee baseball.
Doc, we always appreciate it. Thank you so much. Have a great week. Enjoy the heck out of it. And we look forward to talking to you next Monday.
We'll talk to you on Monday, guys. Thanks for having me. Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, Doc.
Thank you. Dr. Jerry Punch joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. His appearance brought to you by New Balance Knoxville. Shop local. Shop New Balance Knoxville in the suburban shopping center just west of West Town Mall.